I would like to start off by saying thank you to Adina and Shalom Klein for sponsoring these shiurim Le'ilui Nishmat, your grandmother, Luba Bat Mazal. Just want you to know that every day's Daf Yomi, she's also mentioned by the shiur of the Daf Yomi. So we try every week to take something from the Gemara and to elaborate a little bit on it and to take, did I say every week? Every time. and to take some pearls of Chochmah, of Midot from it. So I would like to share with you a story from the Gemara Masechet Brachot on Daf Yudchet Amud Bet. I remember the first time I learned this story with my father. When we learned Masechet Brachot, I was in fifth grade, and it was quite a spooky story. So I'm just warning you. Here the Gemara is in the midst of talking about the issue, discussing if people who passed away into the next world, do they know what's going on? Do they still know what's going on down here below? That's the context in which this story is said. It's almost like a whole big page discussing this. And so the story goes as follows. Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Shmuel the Amora, the first generation sage of the Talmud, Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel. So the father of Shmuel was also a great sage himself, but he's always known. His name was Abba, Rabbi Abba, but he's never referred to in that way. He's always referred to as Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. Shmuel was that great. Avua de Shmuel, havu ka mafke de gabe zuze de yatme. The father of Shmuel would have a fund into which orphans, yetomim, would deposit their money by him, for him to watch the money for them, orphans, young children, lo alenu. So they would deposit it by him, they would trust him, he had a trust fund, like that. That's the father of Shmuel. Ki nach nafshe, when he passed away, lo hava Shmuel gabe. Shmuel, his son, was not by his side. He was not there when his father, Avua de Shmuel, passed away. Havu kakaru le bar achil zuze diyatme. So people would talk about Shmuel. They would say, ah, he's the one who is eating up all the money of the yetomim, all the money of the orphans. He inherited this fund from his father, and he's enjoying it on his own. So he realized that he has to do something about that. He has to find where did his father put the money and, distribute it. But he didn't know where it was. And his father passed away, so what is he supposed to do now? Well, no problem. Azal abatre lechatzar mavet. Shmuel went to the cemetery, to the grave of his father, and he's going to find out where the money is. Amar lehu, so now he's speaking in the cemetery to the neshamot. He's speaking to them and he says to them, Ba'ina Abba, I'd like to talk with Abba, my father. Amu le Abba tuva ikahacha. They told him, Abba, there are many Abbas over here. Which Abba are you referring to? Amar lehu ba'ina Abba bar Abba. I want Abba, the son of Abba. His father's name was also Abba. That one. Amru le, they told him, Abba bar Abba nami tuvayika hacha. There are many with that name too. So we don't know who you're referring to. Amar lehu, he said to them, listen. Ba'ina Abba bar Abba avua de Shmuel hecha. I want Abba bar Abba, the father of Shmuel. That's him. Amule, oh, that's the one you want. Amule, they told him, Salik lim tifta derekia. He's now busy. He went up to the higher academy of Torah in the next world. So he went up a higher level. We have to go get him to speak with you. Adehachi, meanwhile, Chazye lelevi deyativa berai. Meanwhile, Shmuel, who's standing there waiting for them to bring his father, he sees Levi. Levi is another sage of the Talmud. He was a colleague of Shmuel himself. And he passed away some years before. Shmuel, as he's waiting, he sees, of course with his eyes of Ruach HaKodesh, he sees Levi, that he's sitting on the outside of the yeshiva. He's not in the Metivta Derekia. He's not in the heavenly academy. He's sitting on the outside, all alone. And that's his friend, and he was a great man. Amale Amai Yatift Abarai. He said, why are you sitting here? Shmuel asks him, why are you sitting here on the outside? My Tamalo Salakt, why are you not going up to the Metivta Derekia? Amarle, so he told him, the Amri Li, because they told me here, up in heaven, they told me, Kol ki hanach shane de la salikat limtifta de rabbi afes, ve achlishte le date, lo me ayalna lach limtifta de rekia. I'm here, now this is the classic case of detention, I'm sitting outside of the yeshiva, they told me in Shamaim, that all those years that you back down on planet Earth, you didn't go to the yeshiva of Rabbi Afes. You didn't go to his yeshiva. And he was upset because of that. He wanted you to come to his, you know, to his yeshiva. But you didn't come. All those years you're going to pay for it by not being invited to the Metivta Derekia. Let's say it was 10 years. So for 10 years you're sitting outside. Okay, adehachi vehachi. Meanwhile, ata avua. Meanwhile, avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, comes. The neshama of his father comes. Chazye dehava kabache veachich. Shmuel saw that his father is crying and he's smiling. Amar le maitama kabachit. So Shmuel asked his father, "Why? First tell me, why are you crying? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Amar le, he told him, "You know why I'm crying? De le'agal ka'atit. Because soon, any day now, you're coming up here." He told his son that he's about to pass away. Maitama achichat, so why are you smiling? Oh, he said, you know why I'm smiling? Dechashivat behay almatuva. Because if only you knew how you are regarded up here in Shamayim, I get such nachat from that. And that's why I'm smiling as well. Amale, so Shmuel, now remember this part. Amale, so Shmuel tells his father, well, ichashivna, if I'm so important up there, Ne'aile le'Levi. I want Levi to go up to the yeshiva. He shouldn't be sitting outside. Ailuha le'Levi. Immediately Levi was escorted to the yeshiva because of the demand of Shemuel, the great Shemuel. Amale, so now he gets down to business. He's talking to his father. He says to his father, Zuza diyatme. Heicha, where's the money of the orphans? Where'd you keep the money of all the orphans? Amarle, he told him, let me tell you exactly where to find them. Zil shaklinu be'ameta derechaya. Go and you'll find it in the layered grind mill that we have in the back of the house. And on that grind mill, there were levels of compartments. Ila evetata'e didan. What you find on the top shelf and on the bottom shelf is ours. Metzi'e diyatme. In the middle, that's where I kept all the money of the yetomim, of the orphans. Amale, I guess while he had him, so he asked him, I'm curious to know, why'd you do it like that? Why only in the middle? Why? So he explained. Amarle, he said to him, listen, if thieves are going to come and steal, let them steal from ours. If the earth is going to swallow up the money, let it swallow up ours. So the top one, if anyone's going to come and steal, they see the money on top, they'll take ours. Deterioration in the earth will be ours. But the middle will be preserved, that belongs to the orphans. That's the story. You're all okay. So okay, fine. So it wasn't that bad. This is fascinating from many angles, obviously. But I want to take out one point from this story. It's very interesting what we see over here. Shmuel is talking to his father. And he asks him, why are you crying? Why are you smiling? He said, you know why I'm crying? Because le'agal ka'atit. Because in a few days you're coming. Wow. Imagine if a person was told that. Right? Imagine if a person was given such news. Lo alenu. Everyone here should live till 120. Let's say a person hears news like that. That totally takes a person, first of all, by surprise. It'll push him back and he's going to be in shock. And then when he comes back to himself, he'll start praying to Hashem, please, you know, and ask people to pray for him. Maybe, like, what was the first reaction of Shmuel when he heard about that? His first reaction was, if I'm so chashuv, if I'm so important in that world, ne'aile le'Levi, I'd like Levi, please, to be taken up to the yeshiva. He wasn't fazed at all by what he heard personally. Personally, this could have killed him. This was striking news. Yet, he had the presence of mind, the presence of heart, to worry about his friend. That his friend should have aliyat neshama, that his neshama should go up to the metivta derikia and not stay there in agony outside of the yeshiva. That's what he cared about. That's something to marvel at. That's greatness. Tremendous greatness. At a moment where a person is given the worst personal news possible, he puts it aside, he's not fazed by it, he's worried about someone else. We find the same thing 2 weeks ago. We read Parashat Pinchas. Lesson 2 weeks ago. Parashat Pinchas. Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, Ale elai el har ha'avarim hazeh ve'ne'esafta sham el amecha ka'asher ne'esaf Aaron achicha. Hashem is telling, people forget this by the way, if you ask anyone, in which parashah did Moshe Rabbeinu pass away? I think most people will answer on the spot, Vizot HaBeracha, the last parasha of the Torah. That's where it talks about the death of Moshe, which we read on Simchat Torah. But in fact, it's not even in Sefer Dvarim. It's towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar. In Parashat Pinchas, last week, is where Moshe Rabbeinu is told, okay, your time has come. You have to come up to the mountain, ascend this mountain, and you will pass away just like your brother Aharon did a few months ago on the top of Har Nevo. I'm sorry, Aharon on the top of Hor Ha'har and Moshe Rabbeinu on the top of Har Nevo. So he's given the news that he's going to die. What are the first words out of the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayomer Moshe el Hashem lemor. Yifkod Hashem Elohe Haruchot lechol basar ish al ha'eda. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately prays to Hashem, please, Hashem, can you appoint someone to be a leader, to take over? Ve'lo tiye adat Hashem katzon asher en lahem ro'e. The congregation of Hashem should not be like a flock of sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. What's the first thing on the mind of Moshe Rabbeinu? Instead of what? V'ne'esavta? Really? So you mean to tell me you really meant it when you said that I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael? Can you imagine such a thing? Whatever happened there by Memeriva, he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. He said, Shimunah. Well, the truth is, we don't know what the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was for which he deserved not to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's not even clear. If you look in Parashat Chukat, where we have the story where he's told that him and Aharon are not going to enter Eretz Canaan, it doesn't really clearly lay out what the sin was. You have like at least 10 opinions in the Rishonim explaining what the sin was. When you need 10 opinions explaining what your sin was, what already can this sin be? If you need 10 great minds struggling to find out what was his sin. So you could imagine Moshe Rabbeinu was maybe thinking to himself, okay, maybe I can do something about this. Maybe if I do a little bit more teshuvah, something, maybe it can change. Hashem is Rahman, Malei Rachamim, He's compassionate. So could you imagine when he heard that Hashem said to him, okay, time to come up to the mountain. You really mean to tell me I'm not crossing the Yarden? I'm not going into Eretz Canaan? Nothing. None of that. None of that. The first thing that he's worried about is who's going to be the leader. He's thinking about Am Yisrael. He's thinking about others. That's the way of the great people, that even in their difficult moment, most difficult moment, personally speaking, they're able to put it aside and to worry about the zulat, to worry about the other. So I want to share with you, I think, a beautiful midrash on Tehillim. It's on Tehillim, Perek Mem Aleph. The mizmor, this is a mizmor that we say in Chag HaSukkot. Lamnatzeach livnekoach maskil, Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi ke'mayim, ken nafshi ta'arog elecha Elohim. Let's first learn the simple meaning of this pasuk. Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi ke'mayim. They even made tunes out of these words. There are songs with these words, maybe you know. Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi ke'mayim. Like a deer, like a ayal that yearns, that longs for water, alafi ke'mayim, by the banks of the river. Ken nafshi ta'arog elecha Elokim. David HaMelech, alav shalom, says, so too my nefesh, my heart longs to you with thirst. David HaMelech is saying to Hashem, I am thirsty for you, Hashem, just like the ayal ta'arog alafi kemayim. Ayal is a deer. The deer is constantly running. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's running mostly in desert, right? By the mountains of Yehuda, of Judea. What is there already? It's very dry and it's very hot. And so obviously the deer becomes thirsty. But what is the point of thirst where the thirst is at its highest point? When the deer sees from far a stream of water and he's about to bend his head over the water to drink, that's when the thirst is at its highest point. Says David HaMelech, Ke'ayal ta'arog al afi ke'mayim, like the ayal that is Ta'arog has erga. Erga in Hebrew is a beautiful word. Erga means yearning, longing, waiting for, wanting, desiring. Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi ke'mayim, ken nafshi ta'arog elecha Elohim. That's how I thirst for you, Hashem, says David HaMelech. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Let's learn together a beautiful midrash. I'll tell you something personal. I have a granddaughter. Her name is Ayala. Ayala. My son Avraham's daughter is Ayala. So I remember one time I was holding her. This was many months ago. I was holding her. And I happened to be looking at Tehillim. I was looking in Rashi. And it was Mizmor Mem Aleph. And Rashi, in this Mizmor Mem Aleph, on the words, Ke'ayal ta'arog alafi kemayim,
brings down, Rashi paraphrases it, he doesn't bring the entire midrash, but he brings down this midrash that I'm going to say. And so there are four words here that I sort of made a tune to them for my granddaughter. So every time I see her, I sing it to her. I'll tell you the words. Anyway, so let me read to you the midrash. Ke'ayal ta'arog. It could be said, she could be called Ayala, or there is a name Ayelet. Both have the same meaning. The Midrash says, Ke'ayelet eno omer, ela ke'ayal zachar. Ta'arog nekeva. The Midrash asks a question. Grammatically, there is a problem here in the Pasuk. Ke'ayal ta'arog. It should say, Ke'ayal ya'arog. Ayal is a male deer. Ayala, or Ayelet, is the female deer. In English, I looked it up. It's either called a doe, D-O-E, or she's called a gazelle. That's the female type of deer. So that's a ayala. So in Hebrew, the male of erga is ya'arog, with a yud. It should say ke'ayal ya'arog. Or it should say ke'ayelet, like a female deer, ta'arog. But make up your mind. Ke'ayal is lashon zachar, is masculine. Ta'arog is lashon nekeva, feminine. Why the contradiction here? Okay, so keep that question in mind. So we think the Midrash is going to answer the question. Instead, it looks like the Midrash is just going to talk to us about the righteousness of the female deer. The four words are Ha'ayala hazot chasida shebachayot. This ayala, Chazal say, is the righteous of all animals. Where do we see her righteousness? So the Midrash here gives two examples. Pay attention. I'm sure you had the vaguest idea this is what you were going to hear when you come tonight. So listen. Ayala zo kesheyoshevet al hamashber. When the ayala is about to give birth, she's in labor. Mitzta'eret, she has a lot of pain. Ve'oreget la'kadosh baruch hu, and she is yearning to Hashem, instinctively, animal instincts. Ve'hu oneota, and Hashem answers her. How does Hashem save her from the pain, the pangs of labor? Umazmin la nahash umakisha bevet arechem umiyad bet arechem niftach. Hashem brings some kind of snake. The snake hits her at the place of her womb. The womb opens up and she gives birth. Okay? So, in other words, the pain ceases, right? Because she's in tremendous pain. Apparently, it's too narrow or whatever it may be. The nahash comes, opens it up. Okay, Hashem answers her prayer. That's one example of her righteousness, that she prays to Hashem. Okay. Another example, Ha'ayala azot chasida shebachayot. Look how righteous she is. Bizman she'achayot tzemeot mitkansot etzel ha'ayala. When all the other animals are thirsty, they all gather around the female deer, the ayala. Ve'hoferet u'machneset karneha bakarka. And what does she do at that point? She puts her horns into the ground. She digs them into the ground. Ve'oreget le'akadosh baruch hu, and she prays to Hashem. Interesting. Ve'korea ala et ha'tehom. And Hashem opens up the bottom of the earth. Vehamaim olimla, and water comes up. Zehu keayal ta'arog alafi kemaim. That's what it means, keayal ta'arog alafi kemaim. That moment when she's praying to Hashem, of course, in her language, and Hashem answers her, says David HaMelech, that's how I am thirsty for you, Hashem. How does this answer the question that the Midrash began with? The Midrash began with a question. You say, Ke'ayal, that's male. Ta'arog, that's female. And then you proceed in giving me two examples of the righteousness of the Ayala. One, at the time when she's about to give birth. And second, when all the animals gather around her, when they're all thirsty. And what does she do? So in her way, she prays to Hashem by digging her horns into the ground, and Hashem answers with water. So how does that answer Ki Ayal Ta'aruk? So one of the great Baalei Musar, Rabbi Chaim Zaitchik, his name was, Alav Shalom, a big tzaddik, he answers like this. He says, the Midrash is not giving us two separate examples of the righteousness of the Ayala. It's all one story. There is one flow to it. What does that mean? It means when the Ayala, when the Ayelet is in labor, and she's in tremendous pain, and she's praying to Hashem to take care of the pain. So we saw how Hashem answers her. It is at that point where the animals come and surround her when they're all thirsty and asking her for water. It's at that point when she's in the middle of the pain of her giving birth. And what does she do? She puts her karnaim into the ground and she prays to Hashem for water, and Hashem answers. So in other words, these two cases are really one case, one story. What does that mean? She puts aside her own personal pain. She's about to give birth. She's in pain. She puts it aside. Everyone around me is thirsty. They rely on me. Interesting thing to know. They depend on me for water. I have to pray to Hashem. And she puts her horns in the ground and she prays for who? For everyone else. At which time? When she's suffering her own personal pain. As if she is an ayal at that moment. As if she is a male deer who doesn't feel the pain of giving birth. I'm sure you all know, men don't feel that pain, right? They just stand there, useless as can be, and they don't feel any pain. So all of a sudden, the ayala is like a ayal. That's what is hinted in the pasuk. Ke ayal ta'arug. She's still a nekeva. She's still a female deer. But for a moment, she puts aside her pain like a ayal, doesn't feel the pain for the sake of praying for all her other friends who are surrounding her and asking for water. That's ke ayal ta'arug alafi kemaim. Now let's continue. What is David HaMelech saying? David HaMelech says, that's how I am. Thirsty for you, Hashem. In this context, what does it mean? David HaMelech was like that as well. All his life, he was wrought with suffering. I mean, sometimes when you read Sefer Shmuel, the story of the life of David, and when you read Sefer Tehilim, sometimes you feel pity on David HaMelech. How he was able to make it, even to age 70, with all that he went through. I mean, what didn't he go through? His father-in-law was chasing him around the country for 2 years, right? Shaul HaMelech. Right? He had to run away from his life. Mizmor le David bevorcho, mipene Avshalom beno. His own son rebelled against him. And what does David HaMelech do? Mizmor le David. He sings to Hashem. Even the Gemara asks a question in Brah, Mizmor le David, Kina le David mi ba'ele. The Gemara asks, it should say lamentation for David when he's running away from Avshalom. Who sings when you're running away from your own son? And yet he found it in him to sing to Hashem at that moment. It's David HaMelech, the Pasuk says, Libo kelev ha'aryeh. His heart was the heart of a lion. That's David HaMelech. But more specifically to what we're talking about here, David HaMelech put aside all his personal suffering and he prayed for all the Jewish people. I think I mentioned this back when we were doing the studying Tehillim, if you remember. So I think we mentioned it then, that all throughout the generations, whenever any Jew reads Tehillim, Tell me if you don't feel this way. You feel as if David HaMelech is speaking about your own life, about what you're going through. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev says that is a magical thing about Sefer Tehillim, that you feel like this is exactly what I'm going through, and this tefillah was made, suited, custom-made for me. And the reason behind that is because David HaMelech had that big of a heart that he felt all of Am Yisrael. Not only Am Yisrael that lived in his time, throughout all generations. Any kind of suffering was felt in the heart of David HaMelech, and he composed Sefer Tehillim for us up till this day. Till this day, Tehillim is the book which we turn to in our moments of sadness. And we find solace, we find comfort in Tehillim. It's an amazing thing. David HaMelech writes in Perek Lamed He in Tehillim, Va'ani bahalotam levushi sak. He's talking there about his enemies. He had many enemies in his life. He says, Bahalotam, when they became ill, when they became sick, levushi sak, I wore sackcloth in prayer for them. Utfilati el heki tashuv. And my prayer was, as the Maharsha explains in Masechet Brachot, my prayer was that I should be sick instead of them. And on the other hand, when he saw people rejoicing in success, he says in a different place, I think it's Peregimel, Natata simcha belibi be'ed deganam v'tirosham rabu. Hashem, you gave me joy when I see the success, the riches that other people accomplish. That's legendary. That says a lot. To be noseh be'ol im chaverot, to feel the feelings of someone else, whether it is the feelings at the time of their success, as if it's your own, or chas v'shalom, the feelings at the time of their pain, as if it's his own. And that's what he felt. Because David HaMelech had that greatness that we spoke about from Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness that we saw about Shmuel, the Amora, of even at the time of personal suffering, to feel someone else's pain. It's not easy. Imagine, I'm just saying this as an example. Nobody should see any tzarot, any problems, any suffering. But could you imagine? Imagine a person, he hears bad news, some close relative, whatever it may be, someone passed away. And with a torn heart, he has to go outside, let's say to the market, whatever it may be, he goes out of his house. And outside he meets someone, is coming beaming with joy to tell him something. I deserve a mazal tov, I just got engaged. It's not easy at that moment. It's not easy to say mazal tov with a full heart of joy. Right? A great man, a great woman, is able to do so, to put it aside, at least for a moment, and to feel the joy of someone else, to feel the needs of someone else. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Baba Kama, Hamitpalel al davar, Vehu tzarich leoto davar, I'm sorry, Hamitpalel al havero, Vehu tzarich leoto davar, Hu ne'ena techila. If someone prays for his friend, and it happens to be that that which he is praying for is something that he personally needs as well, he's going to be answered first. We learn it from Avraham Avinu. In the case of Avimelech. Now, Avimelech was not a righteous person, and Avimelech was an easy enemy of Avraham Avinu. He took away Sarah. And Avimelech was punished, and all his household, they all became barren. They were not able to give birth because of what he did. What happened? What do we see in the Pasuk? In Parashat Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu prayed for all of them, and they were all able to give birth. And immediately after that, what does the Pasuk say? Vahashem pakad et Sarah, and Hashem remembered Sarah, vatahar vatelet ben. and she was able to give birth to Yitzchak, even though she was so old. So the Gemara in Masechet Baba Kama learns what happened, what was the last thing that triggered the Yeshua, the salvation. It was because Avraham Avinu is standing there and he's praying for other people to be able to give birth, and that's something that he personally was praying for decades, him and his wife. But he was able not just to pray for someone else, but to pray for someone else as if that is the only thing that is occupying his heart at that moment. That is powerful. That opens up the Shamayim in such a way that brings down tremendous Yeshuot. It's a big segula. We are in the days of Ben HaMetzarim. We are in the days of the 9 days of Tisha B'Av, of Chodesh Av. Tisha B'Av is going to be this Shabbat actually. On Sunday we're going to fast. What we're learning here tonight, this point, is the core of the Avodah, of the service of Hashem at this point. What do I mean? To feel someone else's pain as if it's ours. But it goes deeper than that. To feel the pain of the Shekhinah HaKedusha. To pray for the Shekhinah, for the divine presence of Hashem, to come back and to be restored with the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. I mentioned this past Shabbat, Kol HaMesameach Chatan VeKala Keilu Bana Achat Mechorvot Yerushalayim. Anyone who causes a Chatan VeKala to rejoice, makes them happy, it's as if he built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. What's the connection? The answer is like this. When we pray for someone else, when we worry to make someone else happy, what we are doing really is what the building of Yerushalayim requires. When we ask for Mashiach, when we ask for the Beit HaMikdash, what we are asking for, enough tsa'ar for the Shekhinah HaKedusha. And the Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Brachot, the Gemara says, Kol ha-meshatef shem shamayim betza'aro, koflim lo parnasato. Anyone who accompanies the name of Hashem with his pain, which means like this, a person is praying to Hashem for his own pain to go away, for his own suffering to go away. But he prays like this, not just for his own personal pain. He prays for the kavod of shamayim to be restored. Because when a Jew is in pain, it's a chilul Hashem. When a Jew is suffering, it's a desecration of the name of Hashem. It's a chilul Hashem. A Jew should suffer? What do you mean? A Jew is banim atem l'Hashem elokechem. We are the children of Hashem. How could we be suffering? The Shekhinah has tremendous tzar. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that when a Jew has pain, any pain, a Jew is suffering from pain in his elbow. You know what the Shekhinah cries and says? It's a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. Kalani mizro'i, kalani meroshi. When a Jew has a headache, the Shekhinah says, oi, that's my headache. We don't realize that. We don't feel what's going on. When a Jew is suffering, kivyachol Hashem is suffering. The Shekhinah Gdusha is suffering. So imagine the level of a person who when he prays for his suffering to go away, he's able to put aside his own personal feelings and to say, Hashem, it's for your sake that I'm praying. I don't want the Shekhinah to suffer. I don't want your name to be desecrated in this world. That's how we pray, and that's why we pray for the Beit HaMikdash. We want the restoration of Kavod Shamayim, of the honor of Hashem, to come back to this world. Not just for our own personal gain, but for the gain of Kavod Shamayim, of the honor of Hashem's name. So that's something that we should keep near to our heart. It's a big segula. If we know anybody, and we shouldn't know, but unfortunately that's the way it is. If we know someone who's suffering from something, a big segula to overcome our own difficulties is for a moment even for a moment, it takes a lot of work, but to put it aside, and to put ourselves in that other person's situation and try to feel what he is feeling, that opens up the gates of Shamayim. That's very powerful. Yi Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our tefillot, v'yomar day letzarotenu, and should say enough and finished with all our tzarot and the tzarot of Am Yisrael. We should see the ge'ula hashelema, the full redemption and happiness and restoration of the joy of the Beit HaMikdash and all, of all Am Yisrael. V'mera b'yamenu, amen v'amen. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it.